The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
House buyers are reportedly routinely paying above the asking price for a house. They open with offers that are significantly higher than the asking. And that's according to data collected for the latest Irish Independent Real Estate Alliance Average House Price Index. Meanwhile, a Daft.ie report shows prices sought for homes are up almost 7% in the second quarter of this year. So evidently the scramble for housing continues. For more on this, I'm joined in studio by Carl Dieter, financial advisor and analyst. Carl, I assume this is economics 101, supply and demand.
Yeah, in fact, that's exactly what it is. So price is not a thing. Price is a reflection. So, I mean, if Anton, you wake up in the morning, you touch your face and you're looking in the mirror. If someone had never seen a mirror before, they might think, oh, the guy in the mirror is touching his face. It's not. It's a reflection of you doing it. And price is a reflection of demand and supply interacting with one another. So when prices go up, that shows you that demand is higher than the available supply. And it's a natural phenomenon. And it kind of results in different things for different people. So if you're trying to buy a house, you'll start paying more for it. It might also mean that if you're renting a house that people say, yeah, look, this asset is more valuable. We can see prices rising. We should charge more rent. In an ideal situation, they don't actually have a kind of a model that says how many people don't have any money. But for those that don't, we see it turning into homelessness and things like that as well. So it's kind of incredibly expected given where we're at. Although it is catching people by surprise in terms of how big it's going up.
Yeah, because we had seen elements of softening of house pricing, or at least a suggestion that the rate of inflation of house prices was dropping slightly. This latest data seems to run counter to that.
Yeah, so I think that the last kind of movement was just a trend being reflective of interest rates going up. When interest rates go up, it usually throws a bit of water on the market and people wait to see what's going to happen. But affordability is good. You know, Irish wages are good. The resilience in the economy is good. And that's not great for getting a cheap house, but it is one of the reasons why you can see these prices rise. And we're not talking small numbers. I mean, a house nationally now is going to cost you $340,000. You know, you're talking like multiples of average wage, which is around $45,000, like way above the central bank multiples. Although if you buy as a couple, it's still eminently affordable. But for a three-bed semi in Dublin, it's $535,000. So what you're seeing
there—that's average Dublin price.
That's average three-bed semi in Dublin. Now, what it really is loads of South Dublin prices kicking out the North Side, kind of more normal prices. Although you've got crazy prices on the North Side too. I'm just saying on, you know, putting them all into a big bucket together. But another thing that's happening that you've got to watch for is you can say, what's the stock? What's the flow? What's happening? The turnover speed of a house at the moment is 5 weeks. Now, I know people might trade a stock in the blink of an eye, but for a house to trade hands in 5 weeks, as in go sale agreed, done, that's lightning speed for the property market. You know, you don't typically list a property and boom, it's away within a 5 week period. So, you know, these are things that are all indicating that we need more houses and we need ways to mobilize the housing that we have to encourage more people to invest in housing, so, like to produce housing that's not for them. And sometimes that's at odds with what you might hear or think you believe. You know,
that goes to the other data that was revealed, is this thing of people offering over the asking as an opening gambit. Are you seeing much of that?
Yeah. So you see, asking prices is kind of an art in a weird way. So say you're trying to sell a house, or whoever's listening, you're trying to sell a house. Okay, you've got this choice. Let's just say it's a hypothetical house, and you actually think it's probably worth around $120,000. No one knows because you have to market. Price sets the price. Do you want to start listing it at $119,000 and just get the people who are like really interested, you know, super there, close to what you want? Or are you going to do it at $100,000 and then you're going to get like a melee of loads of people coming in looking at it and they might start to set off against each other? And so that's a decision that you'd be making, and, you know, you'll talk to your estate agent and they'll help guide you. Some of them have different approaches to it. But one way or another, imagine then that you're on the other side of that transaction. So now you're not selling a house. Now you're trying to buy the house and you see it, whatever the price is. And you say to yourself, wow, I really want this place. I need it. Do I go in and I get into a scrap with everyone? Or do I go in and I say, look, boom, here's an offer. I'm like $10,000, $15,000, whatever the number is, above what you're asking. But you have to give me an answer today. That's a strategy. Now, it usually fails because when someone does that, the seller. So get back into your seller boots for now and say to yourself, wow, someone just offered me 15 grand more. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe it's not 120. Maybe it really is worth 135. And they'll tend to let that roll.
Now, whichever side of that transaction you're on, there are a lot of people who will have no choice. If you are trying to raise a family and you need somewhere to live, you have a fair degree of pressure. Likewise, if for whatever reason you have to sell the house, you may have to do it. If you're in the small cohort of people who have flexibility in their timing, is now a good time to sell, or should you be holding on and waiting for prices to go on more?
Well, I don't need to offer any advice, because the nice thing is the market is sending us these signals. So a huge number of people selling at the moment are landlords, and they're in this as a business. And it's estimated that about 25% of three beds in Dublin are landlords selling up. And some estimates nationally are that 50% of all secondhand homes are landlords selling or being sold via probate sale, which is a house being sold because someone died who owned it. So that tells you that a lot of people are exiting. They're exiting in order to get capital gains. They're exiting in order to get away from, you know, rent controls that are just so ridiculous. I mean, I need to make this point, by the way. Rent controls, like, that means you could be renting your house out for $1,000 a month, and someone next door rents their house out, a similar house, and theirs rents for $2,000, and you've got no way of ever putting that right because of the way we did it. And that makes people leave, because you can't, when you know the true price of something, you can't be forced to stay at the table and keep getting dealt a bum hand.
But,
so people
but
walk
only,
away.
Only one of those two things, it is only the capital gain that gives us an insight into the market dynamics. If people are leaving because they hate being landlords, because they are pinned in terms of rent controls, all the rest of it, they're slightly different factors. So as to the value of houses and the timing, is now a good time to buy or not?
Personally, if I was in the situation where I was buying now, it would have to be because I have to. I personally, and this is just me speaking as a person, I personally think the market is very expensive. You know, it's using things like overvalued always gets people losing their mind. I'm not saying it's overvalued. I'm just saying it's very, very expensive. It's a huge amount of future commitment. If I were in this situation, I'd probably move, you know, 40 miles outside of the city, find somewhere far more affordable. Like I'm really talking about where the high prices are. I'd stay, my choice would be to stay away from them.
For how long then is the next question? Because a lot of the, I've seen Ronan Lyons and some of his data would suggest that we may be lagging the actual necessary throughput of houses by a factor of almost 50%. That's going to take years to resolve.
It does. It's super frustrating. Like, the thing is, I can be wrong. Ronan Lyons can be wrong. And last time around that we entered into oversupply, no one actually knew it. Like, there was no one that said, we are actually categorically oversupplied. This is the evidence. You don't know. What happens is you realize you're undersupplied. You start to go into supply, and then you create hypersupply, and then the whole thing topples over. So really, my question is where's that inflection point? I still think it's a few years away. I initially made estimates 15 years ago that it would be in the year 2026. So I still have a bit of time left on my, you know, crystal ball thesis. But it's a really difficult thing to know. And currently, there's things happening which are just outside of what anyone expected. So our population rose more than any European country in the last, I think, 50 or 60 years within the last year. Now, that's not like everyone just going out and shagging like bunnies. That's, you know, people fleeing wars. You've got like lots of different things happening. So, you know, that's another thing that adds into a dynamic that makes it difficult to plan for, difficult to fix. So, yes, we need more housing. How much? Like, there's people that say we need another 50,000, we need another 100,000. Like, you're talking about the same number of houses you'd have in, you know, Kilkenny, of a difference of an estimate. So, like, the true number, I'm the wrong guy for that one. But even the people who are the right guy aren't the right guy because they don't agree with each other.
Where are we seeing the largest increases in house prices according to the latest data? Is it even across the board, or are there specific geographical regions?
There's different areas that are seeing a lot. Commuter counties are seeing it quite strong. And again, that's a really natural thing because cities get too expensive. And so this like expanding bullseye effect takes over, where the houses that people look for will be like further and further away in order to get affordability. And I've spoken about this before. Really, all you're doing is you're trading off time in your life for proximity to where you want to live. So if you move, you know, 45 minutes away, then you're giving up 45 minutes of your day. If you go to and from somewhere, 90 minutes, an hour and a half of your day every day in order to have affordability at the next place. So that's just like, that's a piece of emotional calculus as much as it is a financial one.
Although we were given to believe that the changes in hybrid working that came post-COVID might utterly shatter the preconceived assumptions about that picture. It doesn't seem to have.
No, but I mean, the thing, there's a lot of things about like the work from home thesis that, you know, I'd be questioning that too, because if someone can work fully remote, guess what? You can hire someone in Bangladesh who has like 3 master's degrees and they can work fully remote for a third of the price. So like that will play out differently in different ways. It's just, it's not one that I wouldn't be betting the house on that kind of idea of that being the thing that shapes society. And if it does, it could also shape it quite negatively.
Text to say, I'm paying €3,100 per month rent on a 90 square meter two bed house in Dublin. €3,100 on a two bed house. It took months to even find a property to rent when returning to Ireland from abroad. We feel stuck, afraid to buy because the market is so high, but also bleeding out savings. Another, we are again on the cusp of a housing bubble similar to what we had in 2007. Property goes up and then comes down. The property bubble is driven by false economics. Our economy is overheating due to inward investment by US companies. Any withdrawal of this investment will cause a crash in prices, leaving thousands in negative equity again. We in Ireland never learn. Just on that briefly, Carl, a lot of the people, when the economists were asked about that, will point to 06 and 07 and say that that was very much a credit-driven bubble and that therefore this is different. Do you agree?
Well, not entirely. Like, there were studies that looked at the effect of credit on it done by the National Bureau of Economic Research in the USA. They reckon that like the credit bubble effect accounted for about 20% of price. And if prices, say, fell by half, you know, there's still a large unexplained piece of that there. It was also driven by an effort to obtain home ownership for people in the USA who probably never would have been home ownership candidates. And, you know, that created its own dynamic. And what that did is that created a contagion spread so that, you know, went around the world, etc. Are we in the same situation now? No, I don't believe we are. But like, that doesn't mean that this similar thing can't happen. It's just that the dynamic will come from somewhere else. But you could get an economic shock. You could get some kind of spread of war. You could get, you know, any kind of like anything. It's always stuff that like no one sees coming. Some people do, but most people don't. And that's it. You wake up on the canvas and you're wondering, like, how did I get here?
Carl, thank you very much. That is Carl Dieter, financial advisor and analyst. We'll give you a shot at the cash machine.
News Talk's Summer Cash Machine. The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.